invited to the February 11th regular scheduled Westminster City Council meeting. Gonna go ahead and call this meeting to order. Welcome all our guests and introduce Mr. Joel Ledbetter with the PMPA. Thank you for attending. At this time, we need to certify a quorum.
I certify we do have a quorum.
Not your last, you're gonna get to do one more though, right?
I would say.
If y'all would, please join us for the invocation and pledge of allegiance.
Let's pray first. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day and for the call that you have placed on our lives to serve this community, which we love so much. We give a special thanks this evening for Rebecca and for her time of service as she makes a transition in the way that she serves us. God, direct and guide all of our thoughts, our words, and our actions tonight and every day, that all glory and honor is given to you. In your name we pray, let all God's people say.
Amen.
Let's salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, at this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Adam Dunn. He's going to read the proclamation for, it's a special recognition for Ms. Rebecca Overton. Before he reads it, I just want to say that when I got elected, my first visit was to the city administrator. Then it was to the city attorney. How do I be an effective mayor? How do I be a good mayor? You know, what's my job entail? But I learned more from Rebecca in the next 3 or 4 years than anyone I've ever worked with. You know more about this city, you care more about what goes on in this city, and you care more about what we do just as much as you do the employees that work under you and with you. I don't think this town could have been blessed with anybody that could have done the job you've done. And I hate I can't read that tonight because I've got a sore tooth, but I tell you, you mean the world to me. And I know the rest of this council, and I'm gonna give the other council members the opportunity to say something before Adam reads.
Oh, mercy. Or as you would say, law. Thank you so much for being a voice of wisdom to all of us. And for being a friend. You know where my porch swing is, Maggie Connor. I got Reese's Cups for you whenever you come by. And I just adore you and am so grateful for your service to this city.
Goodness. When I think of you, I think of a stalwart. And if y'all need to go home and look that up. It's you. Through the trials of life and our trials that you helped us through it personally, mm-hmm. You know, but as a council, and really not knowing what the heck I was doing when mm-hmm. I started. But really that respect that you show to every person is really something to be so proud of. And for your whole family. And God bless you in your new journey.
Rebecca, I did not know you as well as some of these others. But I do thank you for everything that you showed me and did for me. I really loved everything that was done.
Anyone else?
Just want you to know, appreciate everything you've done for me. Love coming to see you in the office. Always a laughter going on.
Every time I walk in that office over there to see you, you remind me of like a circus juggler with the knives and the plates and all this other stuff and the cakes and just kind of got it all going on and you're not even sweating. Not really, at least you're not showing it. But I appreciate that. I've seen that. I've seen the mother side. I've seen what a great job you've done with the boys. You know, the boys and then playing for my son in baseball. And that's a hard job. It's a hard job. And I appreciate it. You do it fantastic. You really do.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you, Rebecca, for everything that you do. And we don't get to see as much as everybody else does, but the love that everybody else shows says a lot about you and your character. I don't get emotional in front of all these people. I want to read this proclamation. Proclamation celebrating Rebecca Overton and her services to the city of Westminster. Not get emotional. All right, whereas Rebecca Overton joined the city of Westminster as clerk of court in 1996, dedicating herself to the service of citizens of Westminster with diligence, professionalism, and an unwavering commitment to excellence. And whereas throughout her tenure, Rebecca fulfilled numerous critical roles, including clerk of court. Sorry, y'all. Recorder in a variety of essential duties at City Hall. Always demonstrating versatility and dedication. My glasses fogged up. Whereas from 2015 to 2022, Rebecca serves as an accounts payable manager while simultaneously taking on multiple additional responsibilities, including customer service representatives, payroll manager, and facilities rental manager, ensuring a seamless operation of city services. And whereas in 2022, the Westminster City Council appointed Rebecca as city clerk, a role she embraced with exceptional skill and determination, quickly rising to the challenges and opportunities of the position. And whereas Rebecca's tenure has been marked by periods of significant transformation, including the consolidation of CPW and city, multiple city hall renovations, the contracting of court services to Oconee County, the leadership of five mayors and dozens of council members, and the transition to a new form of government with the appointment of the city's first administrator. And whereas Rebecca holds the distinction of being the longest serving City Hall employee and the second longest tenured employee in the city's history, embodying stability, dedication, and institutional knowledge. And whereas her unwavering commitment, compassionate spirit, and can-do attitude have been the heartbeat of City Hall for more than two decades, leaving an indelible mark on the colleagues, city leadership, and the citizens she so faithfully served. And whereas every member of City Council and city staff who has had the privilege of working alongside Rebecca has been positively impacted by her kindness, integrity, and tireless work ethic. And whereas Rebecca Overton has not only served the city of Westminster with excellence, but has elevated it through her dedication, leadership, and steadfast service. And whereas through stepping away from her duties as city clerk, Rebecca will continue to be an integral part of the City of Westminster team and offer unabashed direction to City Hall employees. Now, therefore, be it proclamated by Mayor and the City of Westminster on behalf of the Westminster City Council that the City of Westminster thanks Rebecca Overton for her service and excellence as City Clerk. Law.
Y'all come on up. We didn't bring Kleenex. I wish we had. We wanted to get a picture of you looking your best with tears and snot.
Down there with her.
Yep. Come on over. Come on up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So we're going to have Rebecca in the middle.
Okay.
And maybe squeeze in as close as you can. Love to have Connor and Maggie together too.
Yeah. Can you, as long as you can see your face.
She's got Connor and Maggie. You're okay. We got to make sure we see
Maggie. I'm okay. I'm seeable. Uh-huh.
I'd like to get one as well. Y'all are beautiful, by the way. With just Connor and Maggie, and also on the city council.
Fine. Great.
Now he already said, I told you about it. Okay, look at him.
One more second. There we go. And then City Council.
You want these two to stay up here?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Up here. Yeah.
Of course. Yes.
She's just about half.
Do what?
Yeah. I know.
Yes.
We get one of y'all to come over here with Dave.
I won't bite you, I promise. I say bite every month. I promise you don't bite. I might nibble, but I don't bite.
Mr. Jimmy, can I get you to take a small set that way so I can see Miss Ruth through there? There we go. I got everybody now.
Shot the fire.
All right. Thank y'all very much.
Good job.
If y'all like to leave, you're welcome to. If you want to stay and see how we...
there you go. Or make all from.
Y'all welcome to stay.
One or the other.
Well, if we don't have any objections from council at this time, if y'all would, I'd like to go ahead and let Kevin give us a presentation from the PMBA. And we can go ahead and move around. You're going to have it up here?
Yeah, I'm going to put it up there, and then...
So if council wants to sit in the...
Just don't skip comments from council.
No, we won't forget it. Just
okay.
Reagan, could
see
you
the presentation?
I just said black screen, so you should be able to grow up.
I got to give a special shout-out for our police department.
Presentation up here.
All right, well, Mayor and Council, I think everybody knows that Joel Ledbetter, who's our general manager at the PMBA, is here. And I'm going to walk through this presentation. I'm going to go ahead and confess, Mayor Foster Sin and Newberry created the bulk of this presentation. He was kind enough to share it, so we're using it. Joel is here.
You would send...
Yeah, that works. If you have any questions of Joel as we go through it, is some of the decisions we have this year with PMPA are pretty heavy, and I really appreciate Joel coming today to walk us through and be here to support us. As you hear this from me, you have the ability to ask him these questions, because it's not just going to affect us in the next budget year. This is the kind of thing that's going to be a generational effect on our city. So I'm going to go through this. Joel, if I leave anything out, you jump right in. Some of this you all probably know, but I'm going to walk through to kind of help kind of set the stage of what we've got going on. I think this is in another slide, but back in 1980, or in the late 70s, the Catawba Nuclear Station was constructed. And the cost back then was around $3.5 billion. PMPA was formed to help fund the construction of it. Ultimately, 10 cities decided to participate, and those 10 cities collectively make PMPA and own 25% of that Unit 2 nuclear reactor at the Catawba Nuclear Station. There's some more details that are over there. So the Catawba 2 puts out about 277, it's about up to 284 now. That number fluctuates just a little bit depending on the performance of the unit. We have a percentage of that. We have, as PMPA, we have a supplemental capacity and energy from Santee Cooper that runs through 28 for Westminster. Westminster, Greer, and Rock Hill, we all end that supplemental agreement at the end of 28. The other seven cities end at the end of 29. Since Joel came on as general manager, he has been laser focused on those 2 dates because there are a lot of things that happen that affect every ratepayer under PMPA. We also get some additional what we call backstand energy, so that means we aren't relying on it for what we need day to day, but it's there to help kind of fill in the gaps from the energy authority, or the energy authority helps make some of those real-time market purchases. We also get some from SEPA, So you guys know of the lakes and dams that go along the South Carolina-Georgia border. That hydroelectricity that's produced from that, we get, is it 10% of that?
Each city gets their own block, right? As PNP as a total, it's about 8 or 9% of total energy.
And then some, where it says other small purchases and member city generation, we have one old, old generator at the water plant that when we get notification that comes from Duke through PNPA, we turn that on to help bring down the amount of electricity that's coming across the grid to us.
Can I ask a question of you?
Yes.
Is the purchase of the new generators going to be used in the same way?
Yes.
Okay.
PNPA is referred to as a joint action agency. That just means that the 10 cities come together to do this collectively. You can see the 10 member cities, for the most part, we're along the I-85, 385 corridor. We have, I'm now referring down to the bottom, we have two primary contractual obligations, the Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement that gives us the right to participate in the benefits of the nuclear energy that is produced, and then we have a Supplemental Power Sales Agreement that has a whole lot of other things in it. Just think of it effectively, that the first agreement allows us to have the power at the nuclear plant. The second agreement gets it to us with all the other stuff that we need. That's very high level, but that's basically what it does. The Catawba Project Power Sales Agreement started in 1980. I don't even think Reagan Osborne was born in
1980.
Neither was I. So we got some people who have been born since then. It is set to expire in, the current license is set to expire in 2034. We're working on, we expect Duke is going to get that re-licensed to go out probably as far as 2062.
Well, actually, what expires in 2035 is your contract with PNPA for the nuclear. The actual license at Catawba goes on until 2043, and that's what they're looking to go farther. But our contract with Westminster and the other one expires in 2035.
And if you thought 2025 would never get here, you see how quick time is.
Yes.
Some folks will be at 2034 before they know it. I don't know if it'll be me or not. See the rest of that. So the Supplemental Power Sales Agreement, there's a lot in the Supplemental Power Sales Agreement. Like I said, just think of, we have that power that's at the nuclear plant. We're getting it here. It's got to come across transmission lines. We have to have what's called fail-safe or backstand in place. A key point for us is that it expires for us. We served a 10-year notice in 2018 that we wanted out of that agreement at the end of 2028, which means new things have got to happen. We've got to have something in place that replaces all that contract provided, and there are roughly 15 components in that. It's not something that Reagan and I can just write up a resolution and you pass it and we have it. There's a lot that goes in it. We will be relying very heavily on PNPA if we work through that transition. So you may recall, we consented to the 2023 lawsuit settlement. In that, Rock Hill and Greer alleged net billings of over $150 million. We ultimately agreed to settle with them for $55 million. They were paid $10 million out of working capital, which is essentially cash in hand at PNPA, and then $45 million was bonded. We owe a portion of that $45 million bond to be repaid, and the structure of that is what you see in the circle. There, we are billed that from PNPA. That debt doesn't sit on our books, it's on PNPA's, but since we're part of that, the other thing we talked about earlier was the day's cash on hand, our financial strength. That gets evaluated when the rating agencies evaluate PNPA. They look at all 10 member cities. So it's not just us that we have to be concerned with, it's also PNPA. So we're underway in those repayment terms. So what are we here to talk about tonight is the sale of excess capacity. Here's what I was looking for. So our share of Catawba is about 5 megawatts or 5,000 kilowatts. We have excess of that baseload, meaning we don't use that every month. Question down in the bottom left is why. We haven't grown at the same rate as the larger cities. So Rock Hill and Greer have grown, grown like this. Easley has kind of followed the curve, and then the rest of us have kind of lagged under it. Doesn't mean that we've necessarily shrunk, although some of our power needs have gone down. It's just that we haven't kept pace, and when you're doing it on a percentage basis, if you don't keep pace, you're actually losing a little bit of ground. The smaller participants have excess capacity. Joel and his group have done the analysis that I'm going to show you here in just a second. Just so you know, you don't have the benefit of seeing this month in, month out, but PMPA routinely updates the forecast for rates. Back in 2022, if you remember, when natural gas prices went high, those rates were not looking good. We were able to kind of, PMPA was able to absorb a lot of that up and down, but that's not always going to be the case. In looking toward these future arrangements, and I give Joel the credit for this, he's come up with a number of plans to help see how we'll go forward. Part of that is, are we willing to sell our excess base load as it's calculated in here? So this comes from PMPA. The black lines are the other participants, and I can't share their information because that's their information. We can share our own, which you see at the bottom. You see the 5,000 kilowatts that we have that's in the bottom left corner of that. Routinely, we're using, on average, the highest that we're getting most in kind of a year is around 2.5. Routinely, month in, month out, we're about 2 megawatts that we're buying and selling, and we have 5 that is set aside for us. So that means that additional 3 has to get bought up by the other PMPA members before the supplemental contract kicks in and they can go buy that at that supplemental rate. Most times that supplemental rate is cheaper than the nuclear rate.
Kevin, would you go back, if you don't mind, 1 or 2 slides right there, the blue box in the right-hand corner, the lower. You didn't really read that one. I think that one was really important.
Yeah, so when I just talked about we have 5 megawatts dedicated to us. We're routinely using 2, even though we may go up to 2.5. When we don't do that, the larger cities have to buy that excess before that they can go out on the supplemental, which means sometimes they're paying a little more for that nuclear power than they would have if they were able to use that supplemental power.
Isn't that where the lawsuit came from?
And
that's precipitated the cancellation of the supplemental 10-year notice he mentioned in 2018, 2019. That's when the notifications were came. That's about the time the lawsuits started.
So there, you see this trend graph here that starts to diverge in 25 and 26. The line that's got the clear white dots on it, look at that one for just a second. Under this analysis, meaning it could be run and produce a little bit different result, but we're going to rely on this because they've run a number of scenarios. That's what we could expect our rates to do. So you see where we are right now. You see, and I'll flip to the next slide here real quick. Give you just a second to orient it. About what we charge per kilowatt hour. Look at the first column under 2025, and you see where it says 10.1 cents. then you see in 26 it goes to 10.3, mm-hmm. 10.6. So that's the actual data behind the line that you're seeing on the previous slide. You can see what this projection is showing, what will happen to our rates, what we're going to get charged from PMPA. And you can see that it's going up over time. And then, Joe, will you explain the downtrend that happens?
Yeah, there? I will. And I'll just hit this too and point out a couple of the dates there. You see it's pretty level, the top line or the hollow dots. It's pretty level. It's got slight increases because those are just what PMPA is seeing as inflationary. Now, PMPA hasn't raised rates since 2016. We had a reduction in 2020, so we've gone a long time. We get to the point where we may have to have small increases, and that's what you're seeing in 26 and 27. 28, 29, that's when the supplemental power sales agreement ends, and where Westminster at that time is responsible for all their Catawba costs. And that's why you see that jump up in 29. And it stays at that level. And our effort, and what Kevin is talking to you about tonight, is to try to alleviate those impacts. And if we are successful, we can get on that lower solid line. And he showed you the percentages, and they're pretty significant percentages. Now, as you go out in the 2033, 34 time frame, our debt service for what PMPA borrowed to build that plant, that starts going away.
Okay,
in 2034, it drops out. And in 2035, there's the debt service for the litigation settlement that
goes away.
Westminster agreed to pay for, and eight other cities, seven other cities. The reason it goes down like that and then back up is the way we have modeled the sale of your excess Catawba is a income stream over 10 years. And so at the end of 2035, that income stream goes away, so you get that jump up back up in 2036. But you see how much lower it is, 6 to 7 cents a kilowatt hour, because all of that service is gone. But that's when you're seeing a downward trend in 33, 34, and 35, is because the debt is starting to go away.
Sure.
Okay? And the reason it pops back in 2036 is the revenue from the sale of your excess Catawba runs out. The way it's modeled is you're going to receive it over a 10-year period. Mm. Okay, that makes sense.
Does it continue to go up after?
No. It just pops back up, and then it's affected by inflation, basically. Inflation for the operating cost of Catawba and any kind of supplemental. It's really, really market based. So that's the number. But what you can see there is probably a gradual increase, if any, but it never goes back to where you are right now. Or I don't say never, that's a terrible word. We don't expect it to go back to where it is right now if it's going to be bad. That makes sense?
Yes,
that's why it looks so funny and pops back. It's just because of the way the sales model in this presentation.
So if we weren't considering selling our excess capacity, we would just be showing you that top line. That bottom line wouldn't be either. If we decide, if you decide, to sell the excess capacity, and we'll talk a little bit more how we got to the number in a minute. You see up there it's 1,600 kilowatts, almost 1,700 kilowatts. If we agree to sell that, then our trend line becomes the darker line below it, where we are actually saving money because from the top line. Because when we come out of 2028 and we go into 2029, where that 5 megawatts is reserved for Westminster, we have to pay for all of it. Right now, we're only paying for what we use, and then what's not used is being shifted to the other cities. Well, when we hit that date, we have to pay for it whether we use it or not. So the reason for selling is so that we, in essence, are buying down what we're going to have to pay for that we don't need.
But we won't see the benefits of that until it looks like 26, 27?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say there is a lot of steps and hoops we have to jump through and box your desk check off. A very ambitious goal that we have is to have this start in 2026.
Yeah.
Which is only 11 months away, 10 and a half months away. And the first step is to get everybody who is interested in, who has excess Catawba and is interested in marketing it, get their governing bodies and say, yes, do this for us. This is what this is what we're doing tonight.
Okay.
But there's a lot to do between now and 2026, but the goal is to do it by 2026. That's very ambitious. So this may not happen, but that's what we are shooting for right now.
So then it's assuming that you do get all of the partners with excess power to agree.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
We can do it.
Are you going to put your charm on everybody else too? I'm just curious.
It works different for some. Yeah. He's more charming for some folks.
Yes. So we've got really seven members, because Rockton and Greer have grown so much, they don't need to sell anything. Gaffney just doesn't need to sell anything either. So you only got seven members. Everybody has agreed to do it, and so a lot of them have passed. I'll say everybody's agreed. Talk to everybody, they seem like they're willing. Several members have already passed resolutions. Lawrence CPW, Clinton, and Newberry, they've already executed and passed resolutions. Westminster's tonight. Easley is thinking about holding on, because percentage-wise, they just don't have a lot to sell. They can afford to keep it, for lack of a better word. Their rates are not going to be as impacted proportionally as bad as some other cities. So Easley may sit on there. So they're not going to do anything with theirs, is their indication. And a couple of other cities is Union and Abbeville, and I think they're looking forward to it. So
they're a little bit closer to our demographic.
Abbeville?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. They have a little bit less to sell, but they are there, and they're a little bit larger than Westminster, but they're close. So everybody's moving along. I think we're going to get there. The board at their January meeting set February 28th is the date that we're requesting everybody act on this request, because there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and part of this is you have to offer this excess to other folks at PMPA, other participants, before you take it to the market. So we have to know what's available. That's contractually required. So we're trying to get certain things done by certain dates so we can meet all our requirements.
I see.
That makes sense.
Are those numbers affected at all if six of the seven cities decide to sell? Like, let's say Easley doesn't.
Yeah.
Are those numbers affected
at
all?
That's going to be a part of the negotiation. Easley has committed. He said, if we mess up the deal by holding it out, they will sell theirs.
Okay.
They're not going to not sell theirs and mess this deal. They're a team player, right? They think they would like to hold it. They said, we will not screw this thing up for everybody else.
Well, that was very kind of them.
I mean, I was there for a long time, but they've been a big supporter of PMPA this thing's been good for everybody, PMPA, over the years, and they play
well with others, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and Joel trained the Easley.
I imagine he had something like that.
But they did tell me, we'd like to hold it, but we will not mess this up for anybody else. It'll just be less to sell.
Okay.
Instead of 50 megawatts, you'll probably have 47 and a half.
Okay.
May not.
If we were to sell all, if we were to run out of what we were allocated, if we decided to sell our excess, then we would have to go and be supplemented and purchase supplemental power. If we grew more than what we anticipate in the next few years, what does that look like?
Well, there's some, conservatively, it was done. When you back up to the chart, Kevin, you're in line. And I know this may not mean a whole lot to you when he gets back to it, but I'll point out.
This one.
That was the actual chart he had redacted for everybody else, right there. If you look at the foot number two, it says based on 60% load duration. Without getting too technical, that basically means this: if you drew a curve that showed your highest hour, rank them to your lowest hour. It's a nice little curve. You set a line on there, and it's at the 60% mark, which means you have a lot of growth. You can grow into your retained Catawba share. It's not like we're just getting you on the ragged edge and saying anything, any kilowatt above that, you have to go get on the market. You've got room to grow into your Catawba share. When we first analyzed this a couple years ago, we were using an 80% duration, which means you were selling more than what you're selling now. So this is conservative. This means you can hang on to more Catawba. So you have the ability to grow into it. Now, you're already buying supplemental. You'll have to buy more, but overall totality, it's cheaper for the city of Westminster to do that.
To add, or everyone else, if you look at that bottom line, you see the 5,088, that's what we have right now. 1674 is what we're talking about selling as our excess. So we would retain the 3,400. If you come across right where the arrow comes down, I don't know if this is our highest, is 2528, but that's pretty close.
I think what they're saying here, that's your supplement. That's what you're going to have to go purchase on the market.
Gotcha.
At 2 megawatts is the way I read it. So you're probably in 2029, it says your peak's going to probably be 3.6 megawatts, is what that's saying. You're going to have 1.6, excuse me, you have three, you might be closer to five. So you'll have three that you own, you have to buy two, is what that's saying.
So we're going to, in this plan, is to retain the 3,400. We've never used 3,400. Since I've been here, we've capped like 2.4. So we're under that 3,400 every month I've been here for 4 years. If we grow, and on average, we're right around 2 megawatts a month. If we keep growing, what we plan to retain still lets us go another 50-60% higher than what we currently are. What I like about the analysis is as conservative as Joel said. The suggestion wasn't to sell all the way down to 2.5.
Right.
It was to leave us up so that we have that
room to grow.
And for what it's worth, when they were calculating these, they asked what we thought some of our future needs. I told them, okay, got a new Sphinx coming. Might have McDonald's coming after that. Because that's amount of load that
right.
makes enough difference that got passed away. So when you look at this curve, these two curves right here, and this is why I gave it all to you in a handout, so you can also, because we're going back and forth, this is the data that backs up those points that you saw in those previous curves. What I'm drawing your attention to down in the bottom, where it says the wholesale power cost, that very bottom line is the projected savings that Westminster could realize under this scenario. It's not 100%. This is what we think it would be under this scenario. And over a 10-year period, we would save $3.7 million in future rate increases. So it doesn't mean that we're just going to have that cash. It means that over time, our costs will go down.
Okay.
Rather than up. And you can see that's a small amount each year.
Well, percentage-wise, though, if you look at that line in the top level, that's pretty significant. 10, 9, 8, that's percentage-wise is pretty significant.
Yeah. Yeah. And keep in mind, we're looking at models that show our cost going down, mm-hmm. and everybody else is looking at models that show their cost going up.
Well, I like our model.
So this is I get Foster popped this in there on you. So PMPA, Joel and his staff put out a request for proposal to see if there were entities out there that was interested in buying a 50 megawatt bundle of power. In that 50 megawatt bundle of power is our 1674. So we're a very small player, remember?
Well, I know that.
So this is out, say, on the street. Joel's got some input on it. He's still working on to see, is there anybody out in the universe that would buy that 50 megawatts if the PMPA cities have 50 megawatts that we'll agree to sell? And it appears as if you've got interest.
Yeah, we've had some folks that have indicated interest. We put it out on the street December 31st last year. And the reason is because we have such an aggressive schedule, 1/1/2026. We do know we have to offer it around the table, but we're doing this sort of same time. So we get an interest in the market, and then we'll see interest around the table, and hopefully be able to move forward. Yeah.
So the decision point for council tonight is at our January board meeting, the board set the end of February as the deadline for the cities to say, are we in, are we out? So if you come down, kind of follow the bullet points. Westminster's allocation is 5,000 kilowatts. And sometimes I switch back and forth. I'll say 5 megawatts or 5,000 kilowatts. Just remember, we didn't switch over to the whatever the metric system is. They're the same thing.
Okay.
The calculations that we've all looked at show 1,600 of those, or nearly 1,700, are what you're considering tonight to put in that 50 megawatt pool for PNPA to go sell that will allow us to have cheaper rates in the future. We would retain the 3,400 for our use. I mean, right now we're around 2, we pop up to 2.5. But we still can grow into that 3,400 over time. And again, we've already discussed that PNPA is looking to bundle the excess from the participants to get that 50 to sell, give or take 50. Some of this we're doing so that Joel can get the cart moving. There are a lot of things to figure out. Joel's got to unwind so many contracts. He's not gonna have any here when we get done with this. Yeah, I mean, you lose some. So there's a lot that has to be done. This is a scenario that helps it get done that saves us money, which is why I'm very much in favor of participating in this. So as a reminder, our current allocation is 5,000 kilowatts. Your resolution that you have tonight is to consider putting roughly 1,700 into the 50 megawatt pool. We retain 3,400. And then the rest of those points kind of go to what we've already said. We have extra. When we have extra that we don't use, it has to be used within the PNPA participants, which causes a kind of a price shift. So we want to be able to get out of that model and actually earn some money rather than just shift the cost around. And then that last bullet point just kind of goes into what we can see in terms of savings. Annually, after you get past 2026, the savings for what we would be paying is between 8 and 16%, which cumulatively over that 10-year period that we just looked at is 3.3 million.
Okay.
So your resolution, this is the title of your resolution. It would authorize me as your, not necessarily as your city administrator, but as your board director to notify PNPA that we are willing to sell that calculated excess. Doesn't mean it's done.
Yeah, I'm going to say one thing.
I was going to say that was several times.
This is just an indication that y'all know what's going on and you're willing. If this comes to pass and there's a purchase power agreement that PNPA is going to sign, we'll be coming back and there's going to be ordinances and other resolutions and other documentation to sign. So this is not the last time you will see this.
Right.
This is just indication to PNPA saying we understand and the board is willing, the council is willing. But there's going to be other actions that this body will have to take if this thing comes to pass. So you'll get another crack at this out.
And it's possible that 1,600 number changes.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah.
Before we get to the final.
Okay.
So that's what we have.
Anybody tell me if I'm wrong, but this sounds like a very easy resolution just to pass and see where we come out at.
Yeah.
I mean, if I knew you would be that easy, I wouldn't have went through all this.
I tried to tell you that a week ago.
Joel isn't putting us in another 50-year contract yet. That's still up for discussion.
Yeah, all that's still on the table. We still have to talk about the extension.
Let's talk about a 10-year contract. Instead of
50,
I feel a lot better about that.
Maybe that's a discussion for another night.
I know they were looking at expanding the life of the nuclear plant. Did that happen?
Which one now? Where?
Yeah, it did at Oconee. Oconee's been relicensed.
Did they receive the license? I know they were supposed to get it in October, and I talked to Dennis last week. They didn't have it.
They were
thinking they were going to get it in October, but they hadn't gotten it yet. But it's there.
Didn't that tie in a little bit with our lawsuit not having to tie up funds? Was that not Oconee, though? Was that?
Yeah, so I think what you're thinking about is not Oconee, it's Catawba, right, where we're at. And yes, so we have the debt service that we have to pay back for our portion of this right here.
Yeah.
And we have a balloon payment at the end that's $1.2 million.
Yeah, there it is at the bottom.
Yeah, and some of that is if it gets relicensed, we are hoping that the amortization of the decommissioning cost goes out longer.
It's not necessarily the relicensing, it is the if we sign contracts to go out of the term. Because relicensing, we're already assuming that we can, it will be decommissioned in 2063. We're having to collect all the money up until 2035. If we can get the longer term contracts going out in 2063, then we can push the collection of money out to 2063.
There we go.
Yeah.
So that's the reason for the long contracts.
Well, the other reason, if you go back to the chart that shows the line chart, I just like to point out, you asked when this thing in 2036 goes down to right there. Longer term contract keeps that number right there because you own the asset and you control, or your Duke controls the cost of it. So you don't have to buy anything. So that keeps that dot in that 7 to 8 cents range longer. Now, if you only sign it for 10 years, you don't guarantee it for 10 years, then you don't know what you get. If you go out 20, Catawba is such a ballast to our cost. Right now, what makes you scratch your head is the debt. When the debt goes, some of the cheapest energy you can get.
Hey, Kevin, on 17, I just got a question because I just reached it. On that, where you're at? 17, evaluating the numbers next to the last slide, I guess. On this. The fourth bullet point, talking about if we use all our allocations, one model calculates, how many models are we looking at? Was this like a model out of the middle of every bunch of other ones? Best one, or worst one, or kind of an average?
So I'll let Joel answer probably more finely than I can. But a lot of times when we're looking at what's going to happen out in the future, we have a consultant that works for PMPA that runs these models.
Right.
He ran these models. You give them a lot of input based off what we know today or what we know at 6:50 p.m. on Tuesday. It can change. So the hedging in my language and a little bit of the hedge is that this is a model that shows that. I don't know if we looked at any other models, Joel. I can't remember if we did.
We update our long-range cost model every October before we go to our planning meeting and really get down to the weeds of this. So that's, and it's updated every year because things change every year. All right, so the model you're talking about, is we have extra capacity. That model is if you don't do anything, and it's status quo. The model that we're pitching to you is the scenario we're saying, look, let's sell some of this thing. It makes a lot more sense if we sell it. So I think that's the two models that he's talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't want you all to think these numbers are definitive and everything we said is definitive outcome. These are very likely scenarios. They're very well thought through. There's a lot of input that goes into it, but it's still just a calculation.
It's perspective, and the data is updated every year, but it's a forecast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about all the tracks they had for Helene and Big Elm one way.
That's
got
right.
Smothered, and another way we did it.
Yeah. This is the best guess.
And that's the best you can do.
It's the best guess, but I give a lot of credibility to Joel and the consultant to do that. They spend a lot of time thinking through what goes into those models. Any other comments or questions from council? All right, Joel, anything else?
No, I think I saw it rejected along the way. Unless you ask questions.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Joel.
And Reagan, how do I get this to
not?
Yeah, make that brightness.
Listen, I thank y'all for everything. It's good to see everyone. Good to see you.
How you doing?
Good to
see you.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
I think so.
You don't want to stay for the vote?
I asked the mayor, he said, didn't need to, so.
Okay.
You're welcome to. Yeah, you're welcome.
You're welcome to stay. We've got to wait for Ms. Ruth to
I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to hold you away.
That's further on down the agenda. Do you want to do it now?
Let's do it.
It's up to y'all. I mean, if you're going to do it now, I'll step out.
Why don't you just go ahead and do it now, and then you'll be finished.
Let me find it.
Ms. Ruth?
So that is item number
six. All right. Council, who were Ms. Ruth? We're waiting. Is she coming back?
Jimmy's here. Yeah, I think I know she left, but she's not sitting there.
I think she ran to the restroom.
Well, we can go ahead and do it.
Need a motion?
Yeah, if there's no objection by council, we're going to jump up to item six on the agenda. So we do need a motion.
I make a motion.
There you go. Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Any questions? Kevin, thanks for a really good presentation.
Yes.
Joel, thank you for being here. Call for a vote, please.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll send you a copy.
See you in the morning.
All good.
Yeah, I'll send you to Columbia in the morning. Yeah,
right. Take care.
All right, now, we're on comments from the mayor and council.
I would like to commend our police department. I made a request that they have presence on North Avenue, and I may have been the second person that got the blue lights behind them back in December. So thank you to Captain Harris for taking the direction seriously. I was going 35 instead of 30, just FYI.
Anybody else?
I just have a short thing I want to share. I'm working with United Way this year to be a tax preparer for them, and they come to Westminster. If you call 211, if you make $60,000 or less, it's free. And if you make $80,000 or less, you can actually get it done free also. They give you a website to go to. So I will get y'all a flyer, put it in City Hall, to when they come actually to First Baptist Church for the intake, and then we'll get them done for you. So
sounds
I think that's
great.
A great service.
That's awesome.
Right, that's a great service.
I've been doing them for umpteen years.
That's great.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I want fire department, police department. Those guys have a rough, good month. I know the fire department's dealt with two fires, with one fatality, one serious injury. They handled it professionally. I know the police department helped out with a lot of that stuff. And Chief Mo, looking at your numbers and stuff that you'll probably talk about soon, well done. Well, I like what you did with that. I appreciate what the work that both of y'all are doing, the professionalism that y'all are doing with this. You're delivering. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, first of all, we'll go ahead and congratulate West Oak Wrestling Team once again. For those that don't know, four in a row. I don't know how many of this makes total. Dick, do you know? Six, seven, eight? They keep moving on. And I was asked by one of the members to contact Senator Alexander about the possibility of getting a sign up, state sign, recognizing the city and the West Oak for those accomplishments. So I did mention it to him. And then we're going to get with the wrestling coach to see what he wants to put on the sign. Senator said he would look into that. And we need to, I guess, talk to Coach Strobel, Kevin, and figure out when we're going to be able to have him here for council. Whatever their schedule is, I have no idea. I got that one. And then I want to let council know that I had about a 2.5 hour long meeting with Councilman Tommy James. He's our new representative on the county council. He seems very interested in what we got going on in Westminster. Kind of bragged on what we've accomplished in the last few years. So he's interested in helping us with our continuing efforts. And if you get a chance, reach out to him and talk with him. Just let him know what y'all think that we need from the county and what we'd like to see with the county, because he seems very open to that. And then just wanted to let council know that we have some new homes going up on Simpson Street. Looks like two new homes getting ready to be built there. And I got a call from the contractor, Westminster Crossings, looking to build two more now as well. So continued residential growth keeps moving on.
That's great.
you know what's going on right here across the street from us? They've cleared the lot.
Storage.
Yeah, storage building.
Jerry Smith.
Anything else from anyone on council? And Kevin, I guess you need to reach out to Senator or the coach or you or Reagan one. I don't know what we need to do. I just want to make sure I got that out there.
We'll follow up.
Anything else from anyone? All right, move on to routine business. Comments from Utility Director, Mr. Paris.
Good evening. Old Bridge, 76 Bridge. Like I said, I talk about a lot lately. The failed bridge is gone. They got the river cleaned up. They're getting ready to start pouring new columns coming up out of the rock. So they got several of their bases poured in. They got the forms in place. So they're hoping within the next week or so to get that started coming up. On the skip project, sewer project, they're continuing to make some progress with that, their line replacement. We're working through a right-of-way issue with one of the property owners. We've been back and forth with them. We gave some additional information yesterday to show what the plan is. He's got a plan sheet that shows all the manhole locations, so he's aware of everything on the property. Waiting to hear back from him. And heard back from Controller Brazier. I just asked for an update. He is expecting within the next 2-3 weeks to be able to go to bid with the second phase of the other project. So I did get that before this afternoon. But we should be moving on that fairly quickly. And that'll be a good one to get because there's a lot of work from that phase too, so we'll make the best use of the money. Couple other things, Hall Road, the Horton project over there. If you haven't been by there lately, you should go by and look. Once it dries out, just take a stroll down and see where we've been able to get down there. I've been out there, Kevin Harvin, some of his guys, there's been a lot of trees coming out and just cleaning up. So we have to get some grass down to stabilize that within the next couple of weeks. We're hoping to pick some of this rain, but we didn't quite make that. It's looking a lot different over there. It's really starting to take shape. The Mammoth Crew has made a lot of progress. The hilltop is dropping down and the valley is coming up. So they're leveling things out. Try and check them out. That's about all we've got right now. We do have some projects coming up on the electrical side. As Kevin mentioned, we've got Lee Baker back. He and Taylor have teamed up and they are really, they're grabbing this thing by the horns and looking at projects that are not big cost but big benefit. And there's a few things that they're working on. They're getting some costs together, some to tie in, some upgrades that they can do to give the ability to back feed system when circuits go out to feed through others. So I think you'll see some good improvements over that in the next several months. So.
Now y'all got it looking good out there. I walked it Friday.
Did you?
Yeah, it looks good.
Thank you.
Y'all don't have cameras out there, do you?
We don't. We thought about that. We're so okay. We didn't need to have a time lapse camera just going to see the cameras.
I thought about it right after I beat on a tree and I was like,
you're good.
Wait a minute.
Yep, you're good.
Hey, out of curiosity, how deep are the horns they had due to those bridge support?
I don't know exactly. When I was out there last week, though, I saw one of their corn reeds going down and bit was about 4.5 to 5 feet. It's corvid. It sank down. It probably looked like it about 10 or 12 feet.
So I was curious.
It's a big hole.
Yeah.
And it's going straight into that bed. Right. The original columns for the 1965 bridge were actually just sitting on the rock. They weren't tied in. They weren't anchored.
Yeah.
They were just sitting there until by the weight. So, we have been told that the 1928 bridge will be coming down.
Oh, it is?
The project is done. So that decision, I think, was just made. So once the new bridge is in place and the water line is in place, we'll get our bypass line off out of the way and then make the at that bridge down. So, the contractor is working with the Haynes again Cummins, who's done a lot of work to see if they're going to be the ones we think. They're still working with 22 of them to get the new line across the bridge. We've got everything ready for them on either end. So, hopefully everything goes smooth.
Thank you, sir. All right, next up, comments from City Administrator.
Sir, Mayor, Council, I've already talked about the precariousness of grants, so I won't go into that anymore. I gave you all a handout. Looks like this. We applied for the South Carolina Transportation Alternative Program. We applied last year, got turned down. I was convinced we were good enough to get it, so we went back and we applied again, and we have been given a tentative head nod that we will get the grant award. It's for around $700,000 to replace the sidewalks that you see marked on this handout. We are going under the Transportation Alternative Program. It really tries to get people to just think about it. Get out of the cars, walk, bike, scooter, skateboard, whatever it is. We're going under the program of communities under 5,000. So they have not given anything like that away up in Oconee County in quite a while. So looking forward to doing it. The one caveat to getting that grant is we are not allowed to manage it. So if we do get the full grant award, SCDOT will manage that grant. And they manage it in their way, in their timing. So you can read between the lines on that.
So what are they going to do with those sidewalks?
Just they'll replace them and widen them. So they'll all be at least 5 feet wide. If you were to go down on Mimosa, particularly from the bottom of the hill right there at Jack Street and walk up, that sidewalk is in particularly bad shape. It also has the old pitch from the fire department. I have talked to a number of seniors around town who can't navigate that section of the sidewalk because it pitches, which used to allow the fire trucks to come out. So we'll be able to correct that. So it's nothing earth-shattering, except we get some old sidewalks brought up to current ADA standards that everyone will be able to use. And the reason, in case, David, I'm thinking of you saying something earlier, the reason we were awarded this for these segments is because it's feeding into the downtown where we did the master plan, where we've received grants to improve the streetscape. So it wouldn't have just paid for any sidewalk any other place. There were a lot of criteria that we were looking to meet, and so everything kind of concentrates into downtown. Very happy on that one, because we've, in the background, we've worked hard to be able to tap into that money. I'm going to go back real quick, and you may or may not realize, I'm going to talk about the Chalker River Bridge for just a moment, that you did first reading of an ordinance to sell a right-of-way to DOT at your last meeting, and you don't have second reading on your agenda tonight. You may or may not know that we have a conservation easement on that property along the Chalker River with Upstate Forever. That conservation easement prohibits a subdivision of the property. Now, it wouldn't have kept anything from happening, but we would have had to gone through a lot of legal steps to be able to sell that property. Our attorney was able to talk to the DOT attorney, and DOT has agreed that they will accept a permanent easement from the city rather than actually owning the property themselves. So you may have to pass that. Sometimes the easements they just send for me or the mayor to sign. But rather than selling that, and it was 0.04 some acres, it was just a few feet.
We're out 700.
Underwater. Yeah. That $700 disappeared quicker than it came out. So anyway, I just wanted you to know that's what was going on. The Upstate Forever folks were really good to work with, but they don't like to change their conservation easements. DOT was adamant that they have the right of way. Our attorney jumped in, and we got it all sorted out.
Good.
I summarized a lot of angst right here. And then the last thing that I wanted to say, Scott really and his team have really helped that Horton property that we're now calling it. Our goal is to make the portion of that park that is not under construction by Mammoth look as good as that new part is going to look. And I have I went out there with Scott one day and just kind of conveyed that how important that is, I think, not just to recreation, but to the whole community. And he got it right away, and the guys have been working. Every spare minute they get, they go out there and they do something, especially Scott. Now, I think he just likes riding a tractor because I like riding a tractor when I can. And I go out there when I can, but I think I just make more work for him later. But our guys have done a really good job, and if you look at it now and you think about how it looked before they got out there, and if you want to know what are we working on versus what Mammoth is working on, Mammoth is working inside the black fencing. We aren't doing anything other than taking trees out, which is creating some disturbed dirt, but we don't have to do the silt fencing on our side. So if it's not in that black fencing, our guys are working on it. They've done a great job. And I think you and the whole community is going to be very pleased when we get ready to do the ribbon cutting for that project.
If it's wood chips, it's ours. Red mud.
It's there. Yeah. Instead of a red carpet, red mud.
It's raining today, it's red mud.
Mayor, that's all I have.
That's it.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I should have done that first. Fred has a new officer.
Yes.
And who has been waiting patiently. I'm talking about the new officer, not Fred. Fred is
Of course, you know, this is, we hired our other officer, DeAndre Wilson. He comes from Oconee County Sheriff's Office, and I must say, he's been here, how long have you been here? About 3 weeks, and he has really joined into the land of the misfit toys. he does a wonderful job. He's already out on his own. He's going to do a brief training period, and y'all see him out there, don't be scared to holler at him.
I drive an F-150, his wife, Craig Builder's office.
Tell him that. Bet. Bet.
And so with DeAndre, you are now fully staffed.
We're fully staffed. Right. I got two in the academy. Trevor Osterbrink, he graduates February the 28th. And Austin Shepherd went February the 2nd, so he graduates March 28th. And right. He'll be back on the road. Right now, DeAndre and Davis, they work abbreviated schedule 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. So.
I'm sorry.
That's rough, but what we're trying to do is try to slowly implement back into our night shift rotation. So. Is there any?
Good job, Chief.
Welcome.
And you can stay for the rest of the fun, DeAndre, or you can go on and do...
It's overtime. Get it. You got to watch that.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Also, one more thing, briefly. Talked to the sheriff this afternoon. As you know, you're probably all aware that the Attorney General asked everybody... all of the state sheriffs, the sheriffs in South Carolina participate with the ICE program at 287G. Just to clarify that. That does not mean that we're going to take people out of schools, yank people out of their jobs, or go door-to-door targeting people. We're not going to do that. Basically, what it is a program that's inside of his jail. His personnel will basically monitor that. If they bring somebody in, they can't find out their legal status. They got a program that put in running fingerprints. And basically it tells them whether they're legal or not. If they're not, they'll put a detainer on them and they have a certain amount of time to come and get them. If they don't, he's gonna release them. So make sure, I just wanna let everybody know, we're not gonna be out on the road just pulling people over trying to, you know, see if they're legal or not, so. But we will comply with state code.
Thank you, Fred.
I'm done. All right. Next up, approval of December 10 regular city council meeting minutes. Everyone has those in your packet.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? call for a vote, please.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
I quit. Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Not now.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Where's that proclamation at? We might have to take that thing back.
She's got a short timer syndrome.
Yeah. Oh, I got rewarded. I can just sleep now. All right, move on to old business. Consider a second reading of ordinance 2025-02-11-02. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion or questions? Kevin, you need to add anything to that? You're Reagan?
This is Reagan's. If you have any questions, he'll answer.
No questions.
Morgan.
Call for a vote, please.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
All right, under new business, to consider the appointment of Ms. Kylie Carter as the city clerk and treasurer. We have been given what'd you give us, Kevin?
Where's we gave you a bio of Kylie Carter. We talked about
where's it? There it is.
Yeah. Appointing Kylie last time, and some folks said, who's Kylie Carter? So this is who Kylie Carter is, according to Kylie Carter. And I will say, she's not here because she delivered Carter baby number 3 over the weekend.
Oh, she did.
And if you want to know what he looks like, just look at the other two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mama and baby are both healthy, and
very good.
I think Mama's happy she's going to be able to sleep a little bit.
Next time we have them do these, have them add a fun fact.
Fun fact?
Yeah.
Well, Kylie would probably say this is a lot of fun fact, if you know Kylie.
I've known her since she was born, and that's about as fun as you're going to get. She's all
not
business.
Not trained her.
She's all business.
I'll just keep saying yes, ma'am.
Smart man. All right, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All right, call for a vote.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. Now, Kevin, I have one question. Since this passed, does this change her pay scale? Is it changing her office? I mean, how are y'all going to work this out?
Yes, we have already moved the offices around. Rebecca has gone back into the closet. She worked there. You worked there one time before, didn't you? She's worked everywhere in City Hall, but she's back in the little space where Reagan was, where I was before that, where Kylie was before that. Kylie is now in the office you are familiar with as being Rebecca's. Reagan is in the office you'd have been familiar with me being in a year or two ago. So we kind of all moved around.
Wait.
What? Just combined us. It's hard to think.
Yes, it's a small building. So we have physically moved Rebecca out of kind of the public view of things, and she is officially with that vote back office and handling finance. Right. She can still help Stephanie and Connie and Kylie if they need it. But for the most part, she's going to be doing what she does from that little office or from home, probably as much from home as the little office. Most of the impact on this is legal and technical and reporting to the state and those types of things. We will adjust Kylie's pay scale to go up so that, because she's going to be taking on more responsibility. That staff that I just mentioned, which had been reporting to Rebecca as the clerk, will now report to Kylie. So you better be nice to Kylie. She's now your boss.
Right.
I forgot.
We've come full circle.
So we will adjust her pay. I can get you that number once she and I have decided on what it will be.
Very good.
But it in my opinion, it does call for a pay increase, which is around that $70,000 to $72,000 mark.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have anything else for that?
No.
All right, item 6 we've already taken care of. Good. Move on to item 7. Do we have a motion to consider the resolution? Oh, this is the resolution that made February is Black History Month, and Ms. Ruth May would like to read that.
All right. Resolution number 2025-02-11-02. A resolution designated February as Black History Month in the City of Westminster. Whereas the City of Westminster recognized the rich and diverse culture heritage of its residents. Whereas Black History Month is a tradition dedicated to celebrate the achievements, contributions, and history of African Americans. Whereas acknowledging the sufficient role that African Americans have played in shaping the history, culture, achievements of the City of Westminster, State of South Carolina, and the nation is of paramount importance. Whereas designated a special, a Pacific month to highlight and honor the accomplishments of African American, foster a sense of unity, understanding, and appreciation for the diverse experience that have shape our community. Whereas the City of Westminster is committed to promoting inclusiveness, diversity, equality for all the residents, fostering an environment that respects and values the contribution of every individual. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Westminster, the City Council hereby designate the month of February as Black History Month in the City of Westminster. The city encouraging residents, business, school, and community organizations to participate in activities and events.
You got it?
No.
I spit on my finger.
Oh, okay. Programs that celebrate and promote awareness of Black history, culture, and contributing throughout the month of February. The City Council affirms its commitment to fostering an inclusive and diversity community that values and recognizes the contribution of all its residents. This resolution shall take effect immediately upon adoption. Read the resolution.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Passed and adopted by the City Council of the City of Westminster. This is 11th day of February 2025.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Call for a vote, please.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Ruth.
You're welcome.
Next, we want to consider the resolution pledging to practice and promote civility in the City of Westminster. Do we have a motion for that one?
So moved.
Second.
Y'all want to be quicker before you go.
Call for a vote, please.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Fromm?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Right, number nine, consider resolution 2025-02-11-04. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second. Do we have a second?
I can't have ready yet.
All right.
They'll say it.
Okay. Kevin, do you want to explain or break it?
Yes, sir, Mayor. At the January council meeting, you asked staff to evaluate our policy where if we received a return check, we then penalized the person for life. And not being able to accept their check, we went back and at the advice of council, changed that to be a 5-year time period. And looking at that, we also added a provision, which is mostly our practice now, where if we have identified that a customer has a leak, they're aware of the leak, we're aware that they're aware of the leak, that we will not do an adjustment until on their utility bill until they have corrected the leak. It's a pretty common sense type thing. We did not adjust anything else other than those two. Staff recommends it.
Any questions or comments? Call for a vote, please.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Item 10, consider a bid award to the City of Westminster Combined Utility Rate Study. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Okay, Mr. Brunson.
Mr. Mayor and Council, I believe we have already told you that the Oconee Joint Regional Sewer Authority did a rate study for part of one of their studies and are requiring the participant cities to do a study in kind. We're only obligated to do sewer to comply with that request, edict, whatever you want to call it, from the sewer authority. When we talked with you about this, I think back in December, I asked you if you wanted us to evaluate whether or not we look at all three rates, meaning electric, water, and sewer. So when Reagan wrote the RFP, we wrote it so that we could look at all three. The pricing came in, as you can see in the chart that you have in front of you, where there is just sewer, and then there is the combined utility system. And then Will Dan did do an alternate bid where they were looking at just water and sewer. So you see there's a lot of pricing there. Ultimately, in reviewing this, I'll go back just real quick. Will Dan did the analysis for the sewer authority, and I think there's some merit in selecting the Will Dan group to do it because they will already be familiar with what we need to provide to the sewer authority. However, can you say that name, Reagan? The company name?
I'm going with Raftellis, but that may or may not be correct.
That group, you can see, gave a proposal that's a few thousand dollars cheaper. So my recommendation to you is if we're just going to comply with the sewer authority, we go with the least cost, smallest scope, because we do not have any funds budgeted for this. We're in essence pulling from some pot that...
It doesn't exist.
She's got a short timer syndrome over here. Our recommendation is that you go with the cheapest option with the smallest scope. However, if you amongst yourself would like for us to look at the full rate analysis, you have options to do that.
And there's nothing's been said with the sewer authority or the RA or anybody that's pushing for this that we're going to get reimbursed at any time. This is just straight out of pocket for us.
Yes.
Just to satisfy them.
Yeah. And that's a good point. The reason the sewer authority did it is it was part of them getting the regional planning study is that they had to do that. Well, when they did it, then they pushed it out to the member cities too.
That fixed a lot of manholes for a little sewer problems.
Yeah, right there's a manhole we could have fixed.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. All right. Any more questions or comments?
No.
Call for a vote. Well,
Amy?
No, we need a motion.
Yeah.
For which one? I
make a motion to accept bid from Raftellis.
Oh, sure.
In the amount of whatever that is.
$36,200.
Yes.
$36,200.
Yeah, that's what I make it.
Second.
Any questions? Call for a vote.
Amy?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Law, yes, ma'am.
Law. Aldrin?
Yep.
All right.
Also, these brownies are good.
We thank everybody for coming. At this time, we need a motion to go into executive session.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Do y'all need a break?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Okay. 5 minute break.
Yep, Tony Davis.